Close the door now. Don't let anyone more out.
Anyway, it's good to have to be here, and let's pray. We always need the Lord's help when we, this is His word, and without Him we can do nothing. So, Lord, we want to pray and ask for Your Spirit to come into our midst, that what is said is not the words of men, but it will be Your word. Lord, if You speak, we will all listen, because Your voice will wake up the dead. Your voice is powerful, and your word is like a two-edged sword. So, Father, we want to pray for the inspired word of God as we open it, that it will inspire our lives to live a life that is worthy of our calling. We thank You now and ask for Your blessing in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. It's exciting, you know, it's when you prepare a message, especially sometimes it's easier to prepare a message where a topic is given to you. Then you know, that's the topic, we'll speak on that topic. But when a topic is not given to you, then you ask yourself, what does the Lord want me to speak? And it is very good and assuring that during the meetings that go on and the songs that we sing seem to go together with what the Lord has laid on your heart or the speaker's heart, in this case, my heart, and it seems to go hand in hand and seem to suggest that's what the Lord is perhaps wanting us to look at this morning. So this morning, I want to speak on the subject of race. Not Chinese race or Caucasian race or Indian race or Malay race. Not that kind of race. Race, running. Okay, running. A journey. Going on a journey. A race. So I want to read with you in Acts chapter 20. If you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Our assembly, our church has been looking at studying the book of Acts in our Bible study. And Paul was in Asia Minor, he was on his third missionary journey, and he was in Ephesus, and he was on his way to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit have told him that in every place, where every city where he will go, there will be hardship awaiting him. He will have to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in every place, in verse 23, let's read it together. Chapter 20, verse 23. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Verse 23. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So here, the Apostle Paul is talking about, he says, that I may finish my race. In this case, the race, the translation, the Greek word is really the course. finish the course. You know, if you run a marathon, there is a cross, you have to go to this path, that path, go to this way, and it's a course that you have to follow. Or you're running a track race, you have to follow the course. You cannot run outside the course, you have to follow the course. Run around the course. Run around the course. And it is true, isn't it, that all of us is running a race. It's running a course. The moment we are born into this world, we start joining the race. We start running the course. From the cradle to the grave, we run this course. Have you ever stopped and think about this race? Some of us call it the rat race. Have you heard that term before? The rat race. I don't want to be part of this rat race. It's meaningful, it's meaningless. Going round and round, and what is the end of it? In another writing, Paul writes about the race that he's running. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And anyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, or self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not as with uncertainty, or not aimlessly. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul talks about a race, and he talks about a race about all of us are in a race. He says some of us run, and we run for an perishable crown. You know, in those days when you have in the Olympics, when the early years of the Olympics, many years ago when they formed the Olympics, athlete will run, and they will run, and when they win, what they get is they get a wreath, a crown. And this crown is made of leaves. And very soon, these leaves will just wilt, turn brown, fall off, and that's their glory gone. But in the very same way today, you know that some of the Olympians, those who run in the Olympic race, who won gold medals, some of them are living in poverty. When they were running and when they were great athletes, the whole country and everyone else clap and cheer and think, what a great person, great Ray, what a great athlete. But as they grow older, Alan Schoberg, who is Alan Schoberg? Alan Schoberg, you know, in 1974, he was in the hockey game, and he won. He was a goalkeeper. He won the gold medal. I'm sorry, I cannot remember him. Who is he? And so this is the kind of race that all of us are running. Is there meaning to this race that you are running? Let's look at what the wisest man on earth wrote. And he wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Let's turn to it. What kind of a race are you running? Ecclesiastes chapter 1 is right after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. He was a king, Solomon, says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. That's what he sees. And he's the wisest man on earth. And he wrote this, son of a king. He has everything. If you read Ecclesiastes, you will see what he says. Maybe this will stir you to read Ecclesiastes. It says, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What is the meaning of vanity? The word vanity means of no value. Empty. Emptiness. Vain. It leads to nothing. Becomes nothing. There's no value in it. And it's empty. You cannot get anything out of it. That's vanity. And as he looks at life, and maybe some of you are looking at life today now too. What is this life all about? Vanity of vanities. What exactly is he saying? Let's see what else did he say here in chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4. He said, I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water, pools from which trees grow. Verse 7. I acquired, I bought, I have male and female servants, and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds, of cattle, of sheep, and flocks that all were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself. I also made for myself silver and gold, and the special treasures of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers and delights of the sons of men and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from my pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Let's read on. Verse 18. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will rule over my labor in which I toil and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. It's empty. It's nothing. I don't know where, I don't know your story. I don't know where you come from, or I only come here once in a while. But perhaps when I'm reading these verses here, vanity. Solomon says, I've worked everything. I have houses. I built my houses. I have farms. I have businesses. I have all that I need. I want a party. I have musicians. I have servants. And at the end of the day, vanity. Nothing. Nothing. I recently, someone sent a poem to me, and I read it and I like it, and it says like this. It says, if wealth is the secret to happiness, if money is wealth is the secret to happiness, then the rich should be dancing in the streets. If power ensures security, then very important people, VIPs, should be able to walk unguarded. If beauty and fame, if you are beautiful and you are famous, this will bring you the ideal relationships. Then the celebrities, the actors and the actresses, should have the best marriages. Do they? Are the rich people dancing in the streets right now? Are those who are VIPs walking around not looking behind who is the next going to kidnap them or kill them? How many actors and actresses are still married today because they are so pretty? Or so handsome, or so rich. In many ways, what Solomon wrote is so empty. And if you look at your own life, Solomon says, what I work for, someday it will be given to another. And I don't even know if that fella is wise to handle my money. Where are you? What kind of a race are you running? Does it have meaning? Or you're just running from the cradle to the grave? What is the meaning of this life? But when Paul was writing in Acts chapter 20, if you want to go back to Acts chapter 20, Paul was not talking about running a race of vanity. He was not talking about running a race at the end is emptiness, of no value, no satisfaction, only leaves you empty inside. Looking for more. You have all the money, you have all the wealth, you have all that you wanted to achieve as a young person, as a young man and as a young woman. Maybe in the village you dream of a life that is happy, that has big cars, big houses. Maybe you were very poor. And you wanted, and then now you have it. You have got everything that you wanted. Are you happy? Paul says, instead of the vanity, Paul talks about something very different. Paul talks about a race that is not running aimlessly, running from the cradle to the grave. Paul was writing about something very different. Paul in chapter 20 and verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. I want you to turn with me now to another verse there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 7. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can just read, just listen to what I read. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul is doing here, running a race, and he's not looking at the grave. He is not of the same mind as Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes. Vanity all leads to nothing, emptiness. Paul is looking into the future, beyond the grave. That's why he's running. He's looking beyond the future, where he says, I have my eyes on eternity. My heart is not here on this earth. My treasure is laid up in heaven, where no one will take over and don't know what to do and spend it unwisely. My treasure is not on this world. My treasure is in heaven. And I'm running the race. And he says, I'm running for eternity. He says, I want to finish this race with joy. How different. How different from Ecclesiastes. When I finish the race and I look at myself, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. But no, not for Paul. Paul says, I may finish my race with joy. Paul is living for eternity. Paul is running for a crown, not a wreath that will perish. The leaves will fall away. Paul is running for an incorruptible crown, imperishable crown, a crown that he will receive, a reward that will he received in a day that is coming. Paul's eyes is into eternity. Paul's joy was that he may see the presence of the Lord at his coming, and to hear the Lord says, "Welcome, good and faithful servant." That's why he's running. He says in verse 24 of chapter 20 in Acts, he says, "That I may run the race with joy, and to finish the ministry which the Lord Jesus has given me." You have a task on this earth. You have a job on this earth. And whether you finish that task, that ambition of yours, the aspiration of yours, whether maybe you thought of being a doctor, maybe you're still younger. But you know what? Because before you can finish being a doctor, you learn that you have cancer and you die. Maybe even in this life you're thinking, I'm settling in Canada, I'm going to make it rich. And you work hard and you work hard, and the next thing you hear, some disaster in the family. And you realize that this world is very cruel. And that there is one race that is more important than this world. And that you are running with not the ambition of yourself to build a house bigger, buy a ship, or have a better career, or a bigger bank account. I may have joy in fulfilling the task, the ambition that the Lord Jesus gave me. That was Paul's eternal aim. Not something that will die with him, but something that will go with him like a blaze into glory. It will be Paul's finest hour to march into eternity and say, "Lord, I have finished the race and the task that you have given me." Do you know what is the task? What is the ministry that the Lord has given you? If you want fulfillment in this life, in your Christian life, no matter what age you are, whether you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, do you know what task is the most meaningful for you in this life? Are you living for something that satisfies? Paul says, "My joy is to finish the task that the Lord has given me." And no wonder he says, "I am already poured out like an offering. I have fought a good fight. I have run the race. I have finished the course. And now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord will give to me, and not to me only, but all those who love his appearing." The Apostle Paul is looking into the future. He says this, that he wants a crown. You know, it's true, isn't it? When people die, you cannot bring anything with you, right? You have to leave it all behind. That's what death is. Death means separation in the Bible. When I die, I'm separated from my family, I'm separated from this world, I'm separated from the people. I just go to the ground and I'm separated from all the wealth, all the riches that I think I may have, although I don't have much. You can't take anything behind. But Paul says, I have something that is coming. A reward. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me. Who will get this crown? Will you get this crown? First and foremost, you can only get this crown if you are running the spiritual race as a Christian. Because if you die and you die in the grave and that's the end, and you are separated from God altogether, instead of enjoying that crown, that glory, that presence with the Lord, you are lost in eternity for how sad, how sad, how sad. Run all your life. Run so hard. Give everything that you have. Laid everything down. And to die and then to find yourself away and separated from the God who loves you and who gave his son for you so that you can go back to him. That must be the saddest thing. Running so hard and ending up in hell. Don't do that. Run for an income. A crown that cannot perish. Run for eternity. Run for what really counts. And so to fulfill that ministry, you have a ministry. I don't know what your ministry is. You should know it. And you want to find joy in your Christian life, you just continue to fulfill your ministry. Do the ministry that the Lord has given you. But I was asking, who owns this crown? Who will get this crown, imperishable crown? This crown will belong to those people who are called the victors, the overcomers. It is the victor's crown. Remember, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I fought the good fight. That means it wasn't an easy walk in the park as a Christian. That means there were enemies. The Bible says the world is enticing you. The devil is trying to tempt you, and you yourself, our very selves, our nature, the old man, the flesh, is trying to pull you down, trying to say, give in, give in. There's a fight, and sometimes some of us just let go, and we just say, let's enjoy. Let's do it. Why? So difficult. So this is a Christian life, a crown that is given to those who overcome. I have fought the good fight. I ask myself, have I fought the good fight? If I evaluate myself today, and you will evaluate yourself now, right now, evaluate yourself. Are you fighting a good fight? Or are you losing every time there is a challenge? Every time when the world challenges you, we lose. Every time when the flesh challenges me, I lose. Every time when the devil tempts me, I lose. I will not share in the victor's crown. I will go to heaven. I will go to heaven because Jesus died for me. But I will not have the victor's crown. Will you have the victor's crown? I hope you will have the victor's crown. Paul says, the Lord will give this crown to me, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. So with this, I will end. What is the race you're running? Which race are you running? Are you running from the cradle to the grave? And at the end of your life, on your deathbed, you're going to say, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's empty. I feel empty inside. Or are you going to be at the end of your race, say, I've run it with joy. I've run the good race. I'm first and foremost, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. And I have run a good race. And I want to see my Savior who died for me. Oh, that you will run that race that ultimately counts for eternity. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this morning and for helping us to examine the real purpose of our lives. Where do we stand and what is going on right now, Lord? You know. Lord, you know whether we are running for ourselves or we are running for you. You know everything, Lord. And perhaps some here have not come to know you. And so this life seems so shallow, so meaningless, so empty. Father, we want to pray for them that they will come and find that the Lord Jesus come to give life and to give it so that we might live more abundantly. Father, we want to pray that as Christians, as we measure ourselves against what you have shown us this morning, Father, our resolve, our aspiration is that we might run the race with joy, fulfilling the ministry that you have given us. But Lord, we know that there are always so many distractions. And we confess many a times, we stumble and we fall and we are distracted. Lord, we pray for your help to walk with our eyes fixed on heaven and on the Lord Jesus, that we might look unto him, the Lord Jesus, who is the finisher, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and to see his example, that he who was for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He strove ahead endured the cross, despising the shame. And today is set at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So Father, help us to run with our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we have one who have gone before us, our Savior. We have the victory in the Lord Jesus, as we sung this morning. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. So we thank you, Lord, for these words and ask that you will minister to us, each one, and to the Sunday school children who have had their lessons as well. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.